Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Biz Radio U, pushing knowledge further by spotlighting the best in business.
Hello and welcome, everybody. I'm Adam Wozniak, and I'm joined here today by my good friend, co-host, and producer,
Alex Stoker.
Alex Stoker, how you doing, man?
I'm doing good. How are you doing today?
Doing good. I'm a little tired, man. I'm glad it's the end of the week.
Yeah, especially after the whole hurricane stuff, you know, that kind of emotionally drained me. There wasn't so much damage around my house, but, you know, it definitely was an ordeal. Hit my wallet hard. I was stocking up on groceries, expecting the worst, and I kind of just chilled at home. School got canceled, and I had a bunch of food.
I gotta be honest. I totally forgot about that. I've just been running ragged all week, man.
Like, yeah, I feel you.
It's a career fair week.
You got any good job offers yet?
Offers? No. I got a couple interviews, so I'm excited.
Cool. I'm sure it's going to all work out your way.
But the funny thing was, when I was talking to them and giving them my elevator speech and, you know, all that, and of course, Biz Radio, you came up. And then the last person I was talking to, the last accounting firm, and they were the only ones that were like, oh, yeah, okay, I've heard of that. And
I was like, great.
Oh, what? accounting firms listening.
Right? Yeah, it's definitely cool when that happens.
Turns out our boy Ryan Smith, member of the show, has got an internship at Clifton Larson Allen in the spring. Nice. So shout out to Ryan. Proud of him.
Congrats, Ryan.
Yeah. All right, well, let's get on with the show here. Today we have a very special guest, Mrs. Whitney Turner.
Yes.
How you doing?
I am well. How are you? Thanks for having me.
So those of you that don't know, Whitney Turner is she's an analyst for the top Fortune companies in Atlanta. Actually, she's worked with a lot of those. So Fortune 500 analyst. So what brings you here?
What brings me here is to give a background, the roadmap of my career journey, and also this new company that I started, Accelerate. So I'm excited to tell you guys more about it and also tell everyone why it's needed in the marketplace.
Awesome. So starting off, why don't you tell us a little more about Accelerate, what it is and what you guys offer?
Yeah. So we are a business skills incubator. So we offer skills related to helping you prep for analyst role. So we teach Microsoft Excel, SQL, Tableau, Power BI, other data visualization tools. And not only are you robotic in the sense of, hey, I'm learning how to use this skill or I'm learning how to use these tools, but we also marry in analysis. So not only are you using these skills, but you're using these tools in order to analyze data, and you'll be able to walk away where it's like, all right, not only did I use these, but I've been able to analyze data at a Fortune 500 level. And I feel like that's so important, that makes assets within a company. So that's what we do. A lot of our students actually are career transitioners, which I'm shocked by. So,
Okay.
From where to where? Like, what's up?
All types of industries. You would be surprised. Chemists, nurses, lumberjacks.
Lumberjacks.
Really?
Yes. No way.
So very, very interesting. We have a huge array of students from different backgrounds. So it's always cool to hear the different student stories.
And these are all people transitioning to get into the whole data world, correct?
Yeah. So I'm sure we'll talk more about this, but data is literally taking over the world.
No, yeah,
so,
for sure.
And I think a lot of people are trying to jump on that train because so many roles now require for some type of data analysis skill set. So a lot of people are seeing that. They're trying to stay very popular within the job market. So they're hopping on that train, and hopefully we can be a conductor. So
right.
Yeah.
And you had mentioned a lot of software like Excel, Tableau. Mm-hmm. I actually worked with Tableau in my school for one of my classes.
Nice.
So what would you say like the most, commonly requested softwares are like in the industry, and what's the most popular?
I will say the most requested for us is actually SQL.
Okay.
The most popular is SQL and Tableau. I know myself, I'm more experienced with Power BI. It's another form of a data visualization tool, but Tableau is more popular. So those two are very, very popular. So we started this thinking that Microsoft Excel was going to be the popular thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just like, nope, SQL is. So that's
now,
the top
now for those who aren't I guess, data analytics people. What exactly is Tableau? You said data visualization.
So basically, yes. So think about it this way. So you read a story. You read a Harry Potter book. Mm-hmm. That Harry Potter book comes in the word in the form of text, right? So you have 700 pages of text. At the end of it, you have a story. You can basically provide a summary to your friends based on that 700-page story that you just read. Now, imagine if that Harry Potter book, instead of it telling the story by words, it told the story by pictures. Mm-hmm. So now you're able to tell the stories by looking at the pictures. So that's just basically what a data visualization tool is.
Okay.
Yeah.
Perfect. And I pushed a little bit there.
No, it is fine. No, it's fine. I love talking about it. I'm a little bit nerdy, but.
No, that's great. Yeah. That's great. So before the show started, you said you mm-hmm. started in December, January, around there?
Yes, January 1st.
So how'd that kick off?
So it kicked off by my good friend, Sally Mae.
Did you make that up?
No, I'm actually talking about Sally Mae, the student loan provider. Yeah, so it's just like, I need to pay one of my New Year's resolutions. Like, all right, I need to start paying off my student loans. So, you know, it's like, all right, good friend, Sally Mae, I'm going to, you know, start paying you off more. Gain mm-hmm. a couple of $100 and, you know, teach one or two students about Microsoft Excel. And it did not really take that route. So I got like my first class was like 8 students. And we did Excel for about 2 months from like February to April. And then I was like, well, I'm good at SQL too. So let me just try to teach that. And I just started teaching and it's just been like wildfire ever since. And now it's been like, well, we want this and we want that. So it's just students have been requesting things. I'm like, all right, I'm fortunate enough to be good at it. I've been adding other courses. So it's really taken a life of its own. So I'm trying to control that beast. And it's just mm-hmm. like, all right, so I'm not going to let you lead me. I have to lead it. So yeah, it's been a great year. Crazy. I've had lots of great assistance from this gentleman here, Mr. Warren Pettis. But it's just been, I could not have done this by myself. So I have other instructors that are helping me out as well. So yeah, we're slowly but surely growing and getting there. So yeah.
Well, so it just kind of grew naturally. You're like, all right, I can do a little more. And then it just wildfire.
Yes. Yes. So I'm trying to put out the wildfire. So I guess it's a great problem to have. A lot mm-hmm. of people, you know, they never, I've started other businesses before and they were crap. So yeah. It's just like, so now we have, and now I have this and it's just like, all right. So, I mean, I wasn't that confident in it before because I had other 2 failed businesses. And I'm mm-hmm. like, this one, it's not going to work that great, but 3rd time's a charm, I guess. So.
Yeah, especially that kind of thing. It's like, you've already, you know, I guess, like you said, it didn't go so well. So you already had that experience of it not working out. And I'm sure you learned a few things on the way that kind of made this more successful for you.
Yeah. Yeah. The one thing I've learned along the way that's made it more successful, literally just had this conversation in the car, is being full-time employed. So it adds stress to your mentality, being able to handle so much and juggle a lot. But at the same time, I'm able to put everything back into my business instead of taking it out of my savings account. Mm-hmm. Where it's like I have my full-time job taking care of, you know, personal expenses, still be able to save. But my business income is just, all right, I'm taking all that and putting it back to my business, reinvesting, getting this brand to where I want to be. And right. then I can eventually
like every dollar you leave. Get just goes right, like just yeah. makes it better.
Yes. So it's okay. just like, all right, it'll be great.
That's but also a good like, option you know, to have.
Yeah, it's a great, it helps you sleep.
Yeah. Yeah. Not every business is able to do that.
I know. So I'm like, I guess I should stop complaining about the stress of my 9-to-5 and be grateful for the paycheck that enters my checking account every 2 weeks. So
speaking of, how would you manage that? Like, what's your loose time commitment to both throughout a week?
Let's hope my employer is not listening. So.
Well, you don't have to get too specific.
No. So I work from home. So I, like I said, Warren helps me out tremendously. But with me working from home, I can take phone calls without having to step out of the office, go to my car and just like try to take this business phone call. So I'm able to do 2 things at once, which is really great. But as soon as I close my laptop from my 9-to-5, it's just I go into instructing or I'm working on the business from like 5 to about 10:30, 11 o'clock at night. And then on weekends, I teach courses, and it's literally up from about 7 and stop at usually around 8 p.m. on Saturdays and Sundays. So that's my life. I don't have free time. I'm trying to make free time for myself, but I know I'm building something right. that I want. And I'm passionate about it. So
you know, that's what they say, you know, you get work, social life, and sleep. You mm-hmm. know, pick two.
Yep. And that's the thing I'm getting rid of is the social life. So yeah. It's helped me save a lot of money, not going out as much. So that's good.
And I've got a question for these courses that you teach. So mm-hmm. what's the typical structure for that? Is it online? Is it in person?
So it's both, actually. So we started off just in person, and I just started thinking, I was like, well, why not make it online? Let's, you know, expand our presence. And so, yeah, so online and virtually are the two channels that we teach. So we just started online actually 3 months ago, and the in-person was very manageable. Mm-hmm. The online is what made it go like from like a small little fire to like a forest fire. So that's what made it explode. Really
in the ocean now.
Yes. So it's just like
you're in the little Atlanta pond.
Yep. Yeah. So that's what made it crazy was just the virtual. I didn't think it was going to really kick off. Mm-hmm. Is great that it did. So for example, the first virtual class I had was the Sunday before Memorial Day. And I purposely scheduled it for that day. And I was like, okay, I'm not going to get that many students. Ended up getting like 45 students. Wow. And I was like, oh, this is way too much. And it was just...
That's a big class.
It was too huge. And I was like, okay, maybe I should I didn't think that many people were going to sign up. So yeah. I learned my lesson. It's like, all right, get it to be something more manageable. So, you know, .com virtual is great, but you have to be ready for it. So.
So as you have been expanding more and more, have you thought about expanding your business by hiring other people to help teach courses, or have you received any help?
Yes. So I finally have let go of the inner control freak of myself. And I was like, all right, let other people do it. Because now I am starting to take Sundays off as just my day just to reflect on the week and what I'm going to do. So right now I have one instructor. We just hired two more. And they will be teaching more SQL courses and also Tableau courses.
Okay. And would these instructors maybe down the road right now, are they bringing in their own course suggestions? Like, is there anything that they want to teach that maybe you're not super well versed in?
Or? Well, so that's a huge reason why I hire them. And that's one of the first things I say. I'm hiring you because I don't have this expertise. Make it your own. So as long as it's something that's going to benefit an analyst in any way, let's do it. Like, let's go ahead and do it. So as long as we're not teaching rocket science,
right?
I think we're good.
Now, when you're picking a new course, is it kind of based off what you think is going to do well in the market? Or do you kind of go and see what your target market's looking for? Or how do you decide that?
Well, actually, one thing, it's so weird that I'm an analyst. I think that I will make a very great recruiter because I've probably interviewed at every Fortune 500 company in Atlanta, and wow. I know what they're looking for. And I was like, all right, I know what's going to make people competitive. I know what skills they're looking for. Let me teach it. Because I've worked with so many analysts and they just didn't know. And it was just like, well, why don't you know? And, you know, not a lot of money, not a lot of people have like the thousands of dollars to spend on training. And sometimes school doesn't bridge that gap that great between textbook and real world. So,
yeah. I know at our school, we're at Kennesaw State University. I had no idea, but they actually offered like an Excel course, mm-hmm. which I didn't really find out about until last year. And I thought it was super helpful. I did take it mm-hmm. and things like pivot tables and that kind of stuff.
Yep.
I just kind of wasn't really exposed to that. I mean, they are once you know how to do it, but,
right.
you know, we just kind of learned like the basics. And again, maybe just because I wasn't taking full on Excel-based classes mm-hmm. for my major, but I definitely thought that course was really helpful. And if, you know, I had more opportunities similar to that course around me, I definitely would have hopped on to those like a lot sooner for sure.
Yeah. And I mean, they're, unfortunately, I feel like now Kennesaw has grown so much. Yeah. We both graduated from Kennesaw.
Oh, wow.
So yes. So he was way more social than I was.
What is it? Hooty Hoot?
He was way more social than I was.
I don't want to say that.
I'm like, oh, I can't say.
For those of you that aren't here with us, we have, is it Warren? Yep. So we have Warren in the back of the room and he's observing. But yeah, so I guess we're all KSU in here, 100%.
All right.
Yeah. So I know nothing about that. He was part of the frat life and all of that. So he'll know more about the mascots, all that great stuff. But they didn't have that while I was there. So I would have just jumped upon that opportunity if I would have known that. Like the only thing they had was like an Excel class at the Continuing Education Center.
Okay.
And it was like $300. And oh, wow. I was broke.
So I know, at least with in the School of Business, they're integrating it deeply. Mm-hmm. Into the curriculum.
Yes, which is great. I'm like, finally, like, that's what you guys need to do. Like, that's what every business school need to do. Like, it's mm-hmm. very much needed in the workplace.
Right now, it's kind of like a piece of each of the suite is like in different classes. Mm-hmm. Like, well, I mean, I don't think they explicitly teach Word, mm-hmm. you know, because that's easy.
It's like assumed right. that you know
yeah,
it, I
it's
feel.
Like, okay, you get Word in high
Word,
school.
Word, PowerPoint.
Right. Word and PowerPoint you get in high school. But Excel, I've had to do like Excel, like
projects.
Like Excel, like teaching projects. Mm-hmm. Just kind of like learn how to do this in Excel and then apply it to the course.
Right.
But it was like half of my grade was learning how to do it mm-hmm. for that project.
Yeah.
And that was an IS. And then when I took accounting data analytics, it was like more hardcore Excel.
Oh, that access. Sounds like a fun class. Mm-hmm.
Hey, you might have liked it.
Sorry, I'm like a nerd. I'm like, that sounds fun.
Yeah. But it's like, I bet within, you know, 2 years, mm-hmm. they'll like separate that out and be like, okay, you just got to do it. Like, it's like just a class on that.
Yep. That would be amazing. Like, it would be really amazing. I'm sure you guys will ask me like about my background more and I'll explain that more. But if I would have had something like that, I probably would have stayed at my first job a little bit. Mm-hmm. Longer, like 4 times longer.
Well, speaking of.
Oh, first job.
Oh, yeah, first job, back from college.
Oh, man. So I thought, I graduated in 2012 with a degree in finance. And then I went to Mercer University and graduated with my MBA in 2013. So I just.
Congratulations.
Well, go Bears.
Thank you. Yes. Yeah. That's where I met my friend Sally Mae. But but I knew I wanted to be an investment banker or a financial analyst. I knew I wanted to work in finance. And a recruiter reached out to me on LinkedIn. It's like, oh, you're going to be great at this company. It was McKesson out in Alpharetta. And I was like, I don't think I'm qualified, but okay. I did the one thing you should never do. And so anybody that's listening, do not do this. I lied on my resume because they were just like, you need VLOOKUPs, pivot tables. So what did I do? I did like the parking lot. I call it the parking lot 30. I looked on my phone and I was like, oh, what's a VLOOKUP? And I started explaining it in the interview. So he was like, do you know VLOOKUPs? Do you know like pivot tables? Do you know if statements? And I was like, yeah, I know all those things. I worked on all those type of functions in my MBA project. Never saw it a day in my life. So got there as a financial, I was hired as a financial analyst and he was very nice to me the first week with what he said. So he walked up to me on Friday and I was like, listen, the whole team really loves you, but you're going to have to get some Excel training because I lied. So I was like, all right, we see you're a fraud now. So I was like, okay. So I thought I could study it over the weekend and I couldn't keep up with my team. They were really great. They're really fast, and I couldn't keep up. So I literally would go in the restroom every single day and cry. And I quit after 3 months because I was so intimidated. I was
That's
like,
so rough.
I don't want to work in Excel. Like I told my next recruiter, I was like, I don't want to work in Excel. I was like, I hate that program. Now look at me 4 years later teaching it. So it's just like pretty crazy.
So how did you do that turnaround to loving Excel now and I guess being a pro at it?
I think what it was just, okay, so I'm going to explain it like this example. If someone were to tell me, hey, you're going to have 4 kids tomorrow, it's going to be like, whoa, that's overwhelming. I don't have any kids right now. So it was just like, it was a lot thrown at me at once. Mm-hmm. And so what happened was my next role, I worked at Carter's Oshkosh B'gosh's headquarters, and I was a business analyst and I get bored very easily. So I wasn't using Excel. And then I started, it's like, well, let me use the little bit that I know and just start building on it. So in my downtime, I would just Google certain functions. And I was like, all right. So I started getting better and better and better at it. Like every day, I would take like 30 minutes to an hour just to practice. And I start loving it, started teaching my coworkers, started building like these extensive models, like these prediction models. Mm-hmm. And I just really started loving it. And it turned around literally within a 2-year time frame. I don't even know how. It's just like, Yeah. So pretty crazy.
And for those that don't know, what are prediction models?
So prediction models are basically, with the help of historical data, it helps give your company a vision of where they're going to be in a certain time frame. So the prediction model that I had created, so we had about 600 stores. So based on the new stores that were open, we had to match those new stores with already existing stores to see how they should be stocked inventory-wise, how their sales dollars would be based on what type of retail channels they were. Were they a brick and mortar? Were they an outlet store? Were they a standalone store? So I created a model that looked at similar stores for new stores. I created a model for new stores that looked at similar stores to see how the new stores would perform based off of their regionality, where they were in the country, what type of location they were, and also their climate, which is pretty crazy, but their climate as well. So I had a lot of, and there are more factors, but I had a lot of factors and had a lot of weights that were assigned, and I built out this model within like 30 days. So
wow.
It's pretty fun. So it was fun, but I was kind of done with Excel after that. I was like, all right, I'm tired of looking at it. I need a week off from it. But yeah, so I really just started taking a liking to it.
That's awesome. And then from there, like I said, I saw you on LinkedIn. Mm-hmm. That's how we made this connection. And I saw that you work at Home Depot.
Yes.
So how did you get involved with that?
So what happened was I call myself the Black Widow of companies. So every team I get on, it just dismantles for whatever reason. So my team at Carter's actually dismantled. So my boss told me, well, you can get a demotion. And, you know, the millennial thing I said, I was like, I'm not getting a demotion. I worked here for 2 years already. So I was ready to start moving on to other things that will help me learn more about data. And unfortunately, Carter's wasn't able to offer that to me, but Home Depot was. They're a larger monster. So it's just, you know, they had more tools available to them. So I didn't know anything about SQL, but I was like, all right, let me apply for this role. I know I'm not going to get it, but let me just take a shot in the dark. I don't know how, but I got the job. I knew nothing about SQL.
Congratulations.
Thank you. The first 3 months were a little bit rough. So literally my boss was like, all right, so we're going to give you a 10-minute just overview about SQL, and I need you to run a few queries for me so you can just start generating weekly reports. I'll be out on vacation next week, so I can't answer any questions that you'll probably have. Thank you. So again, I had the restroom breakdown, calling my best friends like, oh my God, I hate this life. This is horrible. And it's just like, all right, get over yourself. So just put my big girl pants on and just started learning SQL. So now I'm just like, all right, I know SQL really well and I know Excel really well. And there were a couple of new analysts and also a manager in that first team I was on at Home Depot. And what they did was, well, they were trying to utilize SQL, but they didn't know how to write queries. And I was like, oh, they don't know? And I just started? Like, you guys were here longer than me. So I was like, all right, let me give myself a little bit more credit. I was like, all right, I'm pretty good now. So that role, I actually took a pause from Home Depot from 2016 for about like 6 or 7 months, I think. Yeah, 6-7 months last year. Because again, I was just like, oh God, I want to be free. I want to be free from corporate America. And that didn't really work out. Again, like I said, you can't really be free if you have no money to be free. So I had no money to be free. So now I went from a data analyst role to a business analyst role. So now I work on the vendor side. Mm-hmm. And I analyze the entire business for this one vendor in particular, Schlage Door Lock Company. And I'm literally that VP's right hand. So everything that she knows, I need to know times 10. So it's a very stressful position, but I've learned so much about business from it. So I had I say all that to say, like, my background is just crazy. If you look at my resume, it's like, what are you even doing? Like, what was your trajectory? So, but I love where I'm at. I love my team. I love, like I said, what I've learned about business, and it's helped me with Accelerate. Because like I said, we have business cases that we apply to every lesson that we have. So I was able to create business cases based off of real world projects that I've actually worked on.
Okay, so they're all personal cases.
Yes.
That's awesome.
So yeah, so for me, so it'll be personal for each instructor. So we have an instructor that works at Focus Brands. So his are based on restaurant case studies that he's done with competitive pricing for restaurants. So it's just fun for me. So I'll just take a project that I work on and it's just like, all right, let me just dumb it down, change up some data, make sure I'm not spilling out any secrets or anything, but make it relatable for students. Because like I said, it was a tough transition for me graduating from college and getting to the workforce. It was just like, whoa, no one told me about like this at all. It was just completely different. I had no practical skills at all. So I didn't know how to adjust. So that's what we do at Accelerate. We want to make sure our motto is be day one ready. So make sure you're ready for the first day on the job. So that's my crazy little backstory.
It's a lot. That's good for you though. You've learned all these skills, which, you know, in college, all the professors are telling you, like, sure, you have a degree, but you know, I've had a lot of professors tell me you might want to look into getting certifications for certain things. Some of those have been for SQL or that kind of thing. So there's a lot of these courses offered online and, you know, they're actually really helpful, but now I feel like not enough teachers really emphasize that. I've kind of been lucky with a few of my professors that kind of, you know, told us, hey, the real world's going to be hard. You're going to need to get some kind of experience. So, you know, I think it's really good what you're doing right now and helping these kids or people transition periods in their lives. You're giving them opportunities to build these skills.
Yeah. And you know, like your professor said, the real world is very hard. You know, I do not come from a family. No one has worked in corporate America. Like, everybody is blue collar in my family. So it's just, I didn't have a mom or dad I could turn to. And it's like, can I shadow you on the job for one day? I had no one to shadow. So it was just like, this is a lot. So it's needed. It's very much so needed.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then, so going back to when you mentioned you had a bunch of different like data analysis positions. So what were some of the similarities and differences that you saw in those different jobs and different positions?
I can say there were two common denominators throughout every single role: Excel and analysis. Just very much so. And I am not, I used to be like Excel's biggest cheerleader. Now I'm like a SQL cheerleader, but Excel is not going away and it makes you a lot of money. And you need to know how to analyze that data that, you know, you finagle within Excel. So those two things have been constant from all the roles that I've had. Even if I'm not good, even if I weren't great in a certain data tool, if someone knows that you have, every manager told me this, it's like, well, you're really great at Excel, so you can figure it out. But I'm like, well, certain things are very different, but I can get why they say that.
Okay.
So it's been very helpful.
Here, I kind of have a specific question about Excel and Office Suite. Now, recently, I guess in the sense, was it 16? This was the last like regular Office Suite release.
Yeah.
Now, in the professional world, is it really changed? Like, do most people just use Office 16, or is it like they use 365 nonsense? All right, good. We're on the same page with that.
Yes.
Yeah. A subscription.
So it's weird. It depends on how old the group is that you're working with. So 365 is not used if your manager is like over the age of 55. Office, just regular Office is just used, not the Office 365. It's just like, what are you saying? So, but it's funny that you said with Office 16, a lot of companies don't even have Office 16. Like my first role at Depot, I was working with Office 2010. So,
oh yeah.
Yeah. So,
is that the only reason I said that was because I got a computer around that time and I just needed something, you know, and I was like, I'll get the new one.
Yeah.
Whatever, it's all cost the same.
Yep.
You know, but I mean, I'm just curious to see if the subscription model and all having all the logins and stuff, is that I'm just curious if that's really affected how like work is done.
Well, actually, I have never used 365 at work. I've only used it personally. Like, mm-hmm. I've never used it at, like, even when certain teams I've been on trying to implement it, it doesn't get used how it should get used. So right. I haven't had the pleasure of using it efficiently. So I can't speak on it professionally. But personally, I like it personally. So mm-hmm. so I think it's pretty cool.
And is it the web-based version where you just go open it up in the browser?
Yeah, so there's web-based. Now, I will say this with the web-based. I don't know if it's with regular the regular subscription, but like SharePoint. I don't know if you've ever heard of it before. I know. Okay, it's like a collaboration environment type thing. So I know one team we did use SharePoint, so that feeds up into the 365. We use SharePoint to like share different files and save different files on like a public drive instead of it having
right.
being on a drive that's on your computer.
And those would be like.
And that's web-based.
Would that be like a premium version of like Google Drive?
I think, yeah, yes. I want to say it is premium. Yeah. So I'm not a fan of, sorry, Google. I'm not a fan of Google Drive.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe because I work so much on Microsoft products. So I think right. I'm very biased.
Like I wouldn't use Sheets. Like I wouldn't use that.
Or yeah.
I've only used like the PowerPoint and the word processor.
See, I don't even use that. I think
slides
it's slides, and I just found out what Google Slides were literally on Sunday at a cocktail party. I was like, wait, what? what is slides? Are you making that up?
I'm going to interrupt you mm-hmm. and say it's funny that you both say you don't work with Google Sheets. I use that all the time at my internship.
Really?
Yeah. So I think it's funny. I mean, it works out for me.
Can
at least
you use formulas? Like the same formulas you use in Excel?
You can.
Okay.
At least so far, every formula that I've been using has worked
mm-hmm.
From Excel to Google Sheets. But, you know, I'm sure there are some differences. I just haven't really come across those yet.
Okay.
But I see what you're saying, especially, I mean, I use Excel a lot more than I use Google Sheets. Mm-hmm. And I'm kind of more biased and I kind of tend to lean towards Excel. I just think it's funny that I use Sheets all the time.
I use that all the time, guys. Quit picking on me.
No, I feel like I'm a grandma. Like, I'm just like, if I've been using something, I'm like, you know, one of the... Like the parents who are just, they think their kids are like the star. It's because it's your child. So it's just, I use Microsoft all the time. Mm-hmm. So of course,
well,
I
like Microsoft you know, more. You don't want to like risk changing to a different thing and then there being a problem because it's, you know, because of the transition to a new
right.
software.
Right.
And then, like that costs you money.
Exactly.
You don't want that to be a problem.
And another thing is with you saying that made me think about something. So while I was in grad school, I had a MacBook and I just ended up selling it because nowhere I worked used Mac. So I was like, I can't keep up with transitioning at home, like how to, you know, like, all right, let's convert over to Mac language now.
I'm in that boat so, right now.
It's hard.
It's so frustrating.
Like, it's just too much. It's like, what button do I press? So I'm just a shortcut queen. So I don't use a mouse. So it's kind of hard to convert from one to the other.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Yeah, I have no idea what you guys are talking about. I use Windows since birth. I don't know.
I'm that way now. So.
And so you mentioned how there's like a lot of new softwares coming out and like similar ones like Google Sheets and there's mm-hmm. differences between Mac and PC. So there's definitely lots of opportunity for other companies to be offering similar services to, you know, get people trained.
Yep.
So how do you at Accelerate differentiate between all these other different companies?
So one thing that we definitely differentiate with, I would not say with the actual courses that we teach, because you can find, and I'll give a shout out to, you know, other courses, but you can find out about Excel on Udemy or Lynda, and you can find out about SQL, Tableau, Power Pivots. You can find out all that stuff. The thing that sets us apart is that business case studies, like those, that's what sets us apart because they're not fake. Like these are all coming from all of our instructors have worked for at least one Fortune 500 company. So these are all real world projects. So these
they're
are not
custom, right?
Yeah. And it's just like a lot of, and I'm not trying to bash any of those online platforms, but a lot of them, they offer like very basic examples where it's like you're only working with three rows. Where opposed with us, you'll be working with data that's like 30,000 rows long. and you actually really have to think. Mm-hmm. So I'm kind of an evil instructor. I love seeing my students stress and just like, this is too hard. I was like, I'm doing my job if it's too hard. So I'm just pretty evil with that. But no, it's just like my purpose is to make you think, because when you go on that job, you can't say it's too hard. It's your job. You have to think. They're paying you to think. So that's what we want to do and make it, you know, as realistic as possible. Because if I went from Home Depot to Comcast, I'm not going to be working, you know, if I looked at, you know, something from Linda, I'm not going to be working with only 5 to 10 rows of data. I'm going to be working with lots of data. Yeah. So I need to be able to have a great transition. It's like, oh, I remember doing that project when we were in Accelerate, something like that. So let me apply it to, you know, a project I'm working on now.
Yeah. And that's definitely a plus, having those case studies. Because, I mean, like you said, if it's really stressful for your students, that's kind of a good thing, because they're being thrown to the deep end. And mm-hmm. once they're in the real world, hopefully the stuff they're dealing with then, at least entry level, is going to be so much easier.
Yeah. Yeah. And the thing is, I feel that in, you know, we all have different strong points. It's very easy for someone to learn a tool. Like, learning the tool is not hard. You have to apply yourself. You have to know what that tool is telling you. And that was hard for me. I can pick up on anything really quickly. Literally, it'll take me 2 days to figure out a system. It won't take that long. But the thing that would always be my like breaking point was just be like, well, what do I do with this data? And finally, I really got that opportunity at Home Depot. Really. My first manager, I'm so grateful for him. Like, we hated each other at first. Like, we hated each other. But I told him, you know, in my, you know, exit speech, I was like, I thank you. Like, he really pushed me. He was like, you don't ask enough questions. And I was like, I don't know which questions to ask. So he started, you know, peeling those layers back of the onion to show me, this is how you need to think about business. These are the things you need to look at. And so now when I have different projects at work, I'm like, oh, this is easy. Like, these are the only metrics you need to look at. And then you just keep moving. But that may not be easy for a first year analyst, because they didn't get that, you know, the patience of someone teaching you. So that's very important.
Right. And, you know, I just want to thank you one last time, or thank you for coming on the show.
No problem.
And before we wrap things up, we have two questions.
Yes.
And the first one's kind of the real question. If you could go back in time and tell yourself something that you know now that you wish you knew then when you were starting off, what would it be?
Business or career-wise?
Dealership.
Entrepreneurship.
Yeah. Entrepreneurship.
Yeah.
Be patient. Be very, very patient. Rome was not built in a day. That's something I still struggle with now, as I'm trying to sound all preachy and Oprah. But yeah, just be patient. And also be more confident. Like, I wasn't, I told you guys, I was like, oh, this is not going to do that great. So, you know, definitely be more confident and be patient and organized too.
Yeah, that definitely helps.
That's where he comes in. Like, I'm not that organized person at all. Like,
neither am I, but I feel like in my own sense, I am organized. Mm-hmm. It just looks like a mess to everyone else.
Maybe that's how I am then. Yeah.
Complete opposite. Like, I have everything.
Really?
Yeah. And it's like, yeah, I keep almost like, it's like organized, catalog, alphabetized,
I am,
or whatever.
I'm not that way.
And like, it just bothers me if it's not. I just.
Really?
Oh, yeah. At work, I'll be straightening up pins and stuff. Like, whoa.
So you much straighten pins?
Well, it's just those counters, and there's like just. Someone took a cup of pins and just threw it. That's how it looks after like an hour.
Oh my goodness.
It's just weird.
Oh my God.
But it's like, I'll just gotta
just
keep moving.
Get it and, yeah, together.
I don't know. It drives me crazy.
No, that's not me. Like, it's weird. I love things to be in order. I just don't want to put them in that order.
Right. And it's funny because, like I said, I have everything in a total mess, but I know where everything is. Mm-hmm. And the second it gets organized, it's kind of like, oh my gosh, where is everything? Because, you know, where I used to be able to see everything because it was all scattered about.
Mm-hmm.
It's like everything's in stacks and different piles. Then I start to panic.
Yeah.
It's kind of weird.
Yeah.
You guys are probably good at like, where's Waldo?
I was.
You're going to. Okay. Never mind. I'm not even going to say it on air because it's an embarrassment. So I'm not even going to say it.
We'll say it for later. But all right. Before we go, real quick, where can people learn more about Accelerate or yourself?
Yeah. So it's www.accelerateclasses.com. EXCELERATE classes.com.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can find us on LinkedIn, find us at that website or Twitter. At Get Accelerated.
Don't tell them that. Yeah. We'll post the links up.
Okay. Thank you.
Platform. Awesome. Right, well, thank you again for coming on. This was a great show.
Thank you. This is great. Great questions, guys.
All right. Well, I'm Adam Wozniak.
And I'm Alex Stoker.
We are Biz Radio U, pushing knowledge further by spotlighting the best in business.